Welcome to the Laracast podcast, episode number 8. In this episode, we're talking about taking it too far. We're not talking about it. I'm talking about it at you when you're going to listen. The concept of taking something too far in our industry, I think there's simply no way around it. All of us have to do it. There's no shortcut. There's no, maybe if you're like a really special developer and you can just see through all of the BS, maybe you're one of the lucky ones. But at least from my experiences, just about everyone, when you're learning like a new technique or an architecture style or something just new to your world or your community, you have no choice but to take this thing and then just pulverize it. You know, you take it and you apply it to every possible thing. That's what I mean when I say you just pulverize it until you get to the point where you understand where it makes sense and where it's just completely ridiculous. But yeah, I wish there was a way to know that at the beginning. So when you learn something, you just instantly recognize when this is useful, if this is even useful. Sometimes it's easy to even forget that. You learn a different approach. And if you're anything like me, yeah, you get excited by new approaches and it kind of opens up your mind like, oh yeah, you could do it like this. And then what would that open up? But to figure out what's behind that door, yeah, you end up having to just pulverize this technique so that you figure out all of the ins and outs of it. And then, you know what, maybe that's a good thing. But the side effect is you end up with trends. There's no two ways about it. In the dev world, we absolutely, positively, undeniably have these trends that everyone talks about, and then we all kind of cool down, and then we figure out, that's okay sometimes, or even sometimes we decide, you know what, that's not as great as we thought it was. And if you need some examples of this, we have so many different examples. But right now, I'm recording this at the end of 2015, and I think it's fair to say the super trendy topic right now is microservices. Build all of these little microservices where you have enforced boundaries between them, and then you just have them communicate with one another, and you have all the different repositories, and miraculously, everything's better. It doesn't matter whether you have a development team of 1 or 5 or 500. Microservices are the way forward, right? That's the trendy thing right now, and I think next year you'll see everyone kind of pulls back and realizes, yeah, there's some isolated situations where this makes good sense, and especially for very enterprise-level organizations. But for your little development team of 2 or 3, maybe that's not the right solution. Now, if we rewind the clock even further, we could go into things like command-oriented architecture and the command bus. If you go back even further, the trendy thing of the year was to quote-unquote repository all the things. If you just keep rewinding the clock, you'll find these little snapshots of what was popular and what people were talking about at the time. And on one hand, if we look back, maybe we can judge ourselves. Some of the things I was very into, even 3 or 4 years ago, I kind of think now, like, Jeff, you should have been smarter. You should have seen through that. But on the other hand, I understand that now because I had to go through it. It's this rite of passage that you have to go through. Once again, where you just pulverize this concept or this idea until you understand every bit of it. And so often, as is the case, you realize, maybe this isn't better. This is a different approach. It's cool. It's interesting. It's fun to flex your mind. But then at the end of the day, you realize, you know what? I'm not better for this. My application has not improved. It's just different. It's not better. So that's very interesting to me. And you know what? I've found that this is true in plenty of industries, even outside of the development space. For example, some of you may know that really, development was sort of a secondary thing. For me, when I was going through high school and college, the plan was to be a studio musician. I played guitar. I went to a music high school. I went on scholarship to a college to play guitar. That was the plan. I did that 8 hours a day. I didn't even know what HTML was at the time. And what I found was, right in high school was when most of the guitar players began learning more advanced music theory. And this is actually kind of an interesting note, totally separate from this, but the guitar players are always kind of behind the other musicians. So, like, I went to a music school. The kids who played violin were just, in terms of music theory, so far ahead of the guitar players. The guitar players kind of got into this because they heard the Beatles or the Rolling Stones or AC/DC, and they just got excited and wanted to play riffs. But I find with the more traditional instruments like violin or cello, in terms of music theory, just because they sort of have to learn it, they are so far ahead of the guitar players who are still at that age just struggling to figure out how to read music. Because they learn tablature, they learn the simple stuff. And then when they actually have to learn how to read music, you see the difference between the two different types. Anyways, completely unrelated. But right around that time, at least for my group, we were learning all of the different modes on the guitar. And if you're not familiar with modes, well, you know a major scale, right? Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. But as it turns out, there's a number of inverted ways to play these scales. So rather than a whole step here, you'll play a half step. And rather than a half step at this point, you make a whole step. These are called different modes, just different unique ways to construct a scale. So you'll hear things like the Lydian mode, or the Phrygian mode, or the Dorian, or the Ionian. These are all different ways to construct a scale. You don't really need to know anything more than that, just different ways to play a scale. Now, what the guitar players always end up doing is, once again, take it too far. They get really excited about it because suddenly, this is a fancy word, Phrygian. I know the Phrygian mode now, and I didn't before. Before, I only knew that stupid normal major scale, but now I know the Phrygian mode, and that sounds fancy. So what am I going to do? I'm going to take that scale, and I'm going to apply it to every single thing. So if I'm playing a solo or something at some point in a song, well, before, I might have focused on being more melodic, but now I just learned this Phrygian mode and I need to work that into the solo. And you see this almost student for student. Every single person does it. And maybe it's just, once again, it's how you learn. You have to take it so far until you've pulverized this concept, at which point you can kind of pull back. But yeah, the exact same thing in the guitar world. And what always happens is, because you're now so focused on implementing this fancy word and this fancy mode for playing scales, it ruins your ability to play melodically, because now you're so focused on the technique. You're so focused on, okay, I'm going to work this in right here, and then I can come back over here, blah, 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 right? You're so focused on that end that it ruins your ability to be melodic. But luckily, once you've done it enough, once you've gone too far enough, you've gone through that rite of passage, you pull back. And the reality is, you are now a better person for having learned all of these different modes. And to bring it back to the dev world, by maybe overdoing the single responsibility principle or overdoing command-oriented architecture, I think there's no doubt that you come out the end as a better developer. But, and this will be my closing remark, the scary thing is that little point between you learning the new concept and you realizing when to pull back. So if you think of those as two separate lines, the space between those lines is when you have to be careful, because generally that's when you're most vocal. So you have the people at the top who kind of coin these ideas, and they've already worked through it, and they realize when it's appropriate and when it's not. But the people between those two circles learn it, and they become the biggest evangelists for this technique, even though maybe they haven't had enough time to really, once again, pulverize the concept and really figure it out for themselves. They're too busy talking about it on Twitter. And trust me, I will include myself in this. I would include basically everyone in this list, because one final time, there's no two ways about it. Taking it too far is simply a rite of passage.